Welcome to the Salty Eclectic Blogcast with your host and author, TJ Allen. These blogcasts are eclectic in that we derive ideas, styles, or tastes from a broad and varied range of experiences, knowledge, and interests. You can find our blog and information on TJ's books at www.thesaltyeclectic.com. So let's get to today's blogcast from the Salty Eclectic.
I Wonder, a short story. It was a hot, humid day in early July, July 2nd to be exact, 1862 in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. The intense summer sun reminded me of my boyhood days in Alabama. For a moment, I longed to be home, sitting on the porch or skipping rocks down at the creek. I was crouched down between two large rocks when Tom slid next to me. He looked up the hill that lay before us. His sandy hair stuck out from under his cap like straw from a scarecrow. He turned and fixed his pale blue eyes on me. In his slow southern drawl, he spoke. "Jill, what's wrong with you? You hadn't fired a shot." I bowed my head. Tom shook me. "Jill," he growled in a hushed whisper. "What's going on?" He shook me again, and I cleared my throat. I can't. I just can't. Tom looked around like he was looking to see who might be watching or listening. "Can't what?" He grabbed my arm. His voice cracked. "Jib, don't you go squirrely on me, you hear me?" His whiskey and tobacco-laden breath made me shudder. I blinked and looked into his wild eyes as they searched mine. "Tom, I don't know what's going on. You know me. I ain't never had a moment's hesitation to pull the trigger, but I just can't." Tom looked down at my shaking hands and then searched my face again. "What you mean, Jib? What you mean?" He let me go and then looked up the hill. He squinted and then looked at me again. "You mean up there? Isn't that a Yank officer up on that hill, standing there plain as day?" "Yeah." He half smiled. "Since when can't you shoot a Yank? You getting soft on us?" I didn't answer. His smile faded and he got in my face again. "Jib, you the best we got. Ain't no one a better shot in the 15th Alabama than you, and ain't no one more willing to take down a Yank." He spit. Tobacco juice spittled down his chin. He wiped it with his sleeve. "I know, Tom, but not this one. There's something different about this one. I can't. When I first saw him, I thought it a mighty good thing to put him out of the way. Tom, I had him, perfectly certain, several times, and just couldn't pull the trigger. I just couldn't. I tried, but I can't." Tom shook me, hard. "Jib, you gotta understand. We need to take that hill. We done hit it twice, and it was pushed back. Many of us done fail. You gotta kill as many Yanks from a distance as you can. One less Yank means one less of us that dies. If you kill an officer, if you cut the head off the snake, the body dies. You've got to do it. It's your duty." "I can't. Don't you understand me? I tried. I did. Every time I take aim at him, my hand's shaking. Something comes over me. I'm ashamed. I can't pull the trigger." "You should be ashamed that you can't kill a Yank. He ain't nothing but a flea on Nanny's dog's hind end." He spit. "No, I'm ashamed to pull the trigger. I can't explain it. I go to pull the trigger, and I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed to shoot him. He's in plain sight. I've dropped deer further away than this without hesitation. But I'm ashamed to pull the trigger on this Yank." "Why? What is he? Something special?" "I heard Colonel Oates talking to his brother earlier. He thinks that's the 20th Maine up there. If that's true, then that could be Chamberlain, and he needs to be dropped like a Christmas turkey." "It is Chamberlain, and that is the 20th. How do you know?" "I just know. I can tell by the way he conducts himself with his men. I can also see his rank." "Listen to me, Jeb. We got to take that hill. If we take that hill, then this could be our chance to end this godforsaken war. We'll be able to see the whole valley below, and we can rout the Yanks. We'll split them in half and turn their own guns on them. And then Lee can march into Washington and force Lincoln to stop this war. Jeb, are you hearing me? We got to get up on top of Little Round Top." The steely look on Tom's face faded. I could tell that he was convinced I couldn't go through with shooting this Yankee officer. He shook me one more time and pushed me back against the boulder. He looked back up the hill, spit, looked at me, and then walked away, back to the remaining regiment. I don't know how long I sat there. It seemed like days, ashamed that I was ashamed. Before the sun went down that day, we were ordered up the hill one more time. As a sharpshooter, I maintained my position and supported my regiment. They fought valiantly as they assaulted the hill with volley after volley. Men fell like swatted flies. I took out several Yanks as they stood up to return fire. I felt redeemed. I had no problem now in the heat of battle to defend our cause and my fellow soldiers. I caught sight of Tom as he led his men over a little knoll, right into a clot of Yanks. One had Tom dead to rights, but I made sure he didn't fire. Tom turned toward me. Our eyes locked. He nodded his thanks and I returned it. I quickly reloaded my rifle to prepare for another shot. When I looked up, Tom was gone and so were his men. I'm not sure what happened next. I dropped one more Yank and then they came over the breastworks with fixed bayonets. They were a wave of blue yelling at the top of their lungs. Bugles blared the charge and their flags flowed in the wind. They must have gotten reinforcements. Our own buglers sounded a retreat and we fled. We weren't taking Little Round Top. Not today, not ever. It wasn't meant to be. I grabbed my gear and headed out of there like the devil himself was after me. I heard later that Tom had fallen on that knoll. I stopped one Yank from killing him, but I couldn't stop them all. Now, I'm still not sure why I could not shoot Colonel Chamberlain. I heard that even one of our officers tried to shoot him during that bayonet attack and failed. He had a better chance than I. How could the officer's revolver misfire just at the time it was aimed at Chamberlain's head? Chamberlain was hailed as a war hero. He even became governor of Maine. I wrote him a letter telling him how I had him in my sights twice, but could not pull the trigger. I recounted to him how, each time, some peculiar notion shut me right down. So I gave up his life to him. I also told him that I was glad of it and hoped he was as well. I learned that he wrote me back and invited me to visit him in Maine to see if I hadn't made a good choice. I never received the letter, nor did I answer him. How could I? It was revealed to us that at that critical moment on that critical mountain, he and his men had insufficient ammunition to defend another attempt by our forces. If we had pressed the moment and taken that hill, Tom's words may very well have rung true. Looking back now, I gotta wonder. If I could have brought myself to drop Colonel Chamberlain that day on the hill, would have things been different? Would we have taken that hill? Would Tom have died as he did with my secret? Would we have split the Yanks and taken Washington like Tom said? Would Lee have ordered Pickett's charge the very next day in an all-out, last-ditch effort to win this battle and maybe the war? Would have fewer men on both sides have died? I wonder if God Almighty had his hand on me to shame me not to kill Chamberlain, because there was a higher power and purpose at work. I wonder.
Did you enjoy today's blogcast? You can find more of these at our website, www.thesaltyeclectic.com. Click on the blogcast category at the top. While you're there, you can sign up for our newsletter. And remember, Matthew 5:13 says, "You are the salt of the earth."